Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm Peyton Jones, your host, and today we'll be in Deuteronomy chapter 20. I have to take my daughter to the hospital a lot. The Jones family should have a personal parking spot there for as many times as we have to go. But every time I take my daughter, I have to spend a little time with her going over exactly what procedure will be done to her body. What tubes they'll be putting in what part of the body, where any scary needles or scary devices will be, whether there'll be surgery today or what she calls a bloodshot. She's six. And for her first 6 years, she's racked up so many frequent flyer miles that she should have a week's free holiday there in the hospital, ready to cash in on at any time. No matter how often she goes, there's always fear. To a six-year-old who's been there way too much and had way too much wrong with her body, there's a lot of scary things that could happen. Therefore, there's a session that takes place with mommy and daddy where we talk about it painstakingly, step by step, what will happen. And when that's done, we begin the don't be afraid talk. Of course, when you're telling a child not to be afraid, you know it's lame, you know it's silly. There's plenty to be afraid of when you go to the hospital, especially for a six-year-old. But as an adult, you know what's going to happen. There will be momentary pain and discomfort followed by a season of health as a result, and that's actually why you take them. Moses is like a parent in Deuteronomy chapter 20. He tells the Israelites about something scary coming up, war. War is scary. I come from a military family where everybody saw a lot of war and a lot of combat, and of course, I was a firefighter and a paramedic and saw my share of scary things and death. There's a lot of scary things out there in the world, and there were for the Israelites who were getting ready to enter a land that was going to be fraught with danger and peril and giants and war. But God said he was going to go with them. There will always be scary things in front of us, and like them, we need to be brave. Moses is here telling them, don't be afraid. He's giving them that speech. He's telling them to be brave, to be strong, but most of all, they were going to need to be trusting, not just trusting in their chariots, numbers, or superior firepower, because they didn't have any of that. They were going to need to trust God. And God was going to go with them. Moses says in verse 1, when you go to war against your enemies and see horses and chariots and an army greater than yours, do not be afraid of them, because the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt will be with you. When you're about to go into battle, the priest shall come forward and address the army. He shall say, hear, Israel, today you're going into battle against your enemies. Do not be faint-hearted or afraid. Do not panic or be terrified by them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory. In verse 5 through 9, Moses tells the captains to give the people a get-out clause. Did you recently plant a vineyard? Go home and enjoy it. Recently get married. Enjoy your wife. Enjoy your wife. Are you afraid? Go home and be afraid. Don't bring the morale down to the troops. Go home. We need men of faith who trust God to fight this battle. Then in verse 10 through 14, the rules are given for surrounding nations. They don't have to wipe the surrounding nations out completely. They can take the women and children, but they can't do what the armies would do, rape and abuse them. Instead, they can either use them as servants or marry them. Verse 15, this is how you are to treat all the cities that are at a distance from you and do not belong to the nations nearby. However, in the cities and the nations the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, do not leave alive anything that breathes. So there are different rules here. They need to completely wipe out the pagan worshipers in Canaan. Verse 18, otherwise they will teach you to follow all the detestable things they do in worshiping their gods, and you will sin against the Lord your God. But for the surrounding nations, they're given a different tact. Now again, God was way ahead of his time. This would be kind of like the rules of the Geneva Convention, which the nations of the world got together and set up after the First World War. Why? Because so many barbaric things were done in the First Great War that there needed to be the rules of engagement, things that both sides agreed to, like, hey, we're going to fight, but we need to show some class. There's a certain point at which we got to fight against ourselves and our evil inclinations, not just each other. Unfortunately, none of the other nations would have these same rules. There was no such thing as a Geneva Convention or an agreement that the nations agreed upon as standards of behavior during warfare. That's all part of modern warfare, and yet thousands of years ago, God told them a certain standard needed to be entered into by his people. They would still kill, they would still have to wipe out entire cities, but they would have to be nice to the people. For example, verse 10 says, "When you draw near to a city to fight against it, offer terms of peace to it. And if it responds to you peaceably and it opens to you, then all the people who are found in it shall be forced labor for you and shall serve you." They weren't allowed to kill those people. But that was kind of an ancient trick. "I'll open up the gates and we'll let you go." Well, we know how that probably turned out most of the time. One of the most interesting passages is the final section in this chapter. "When you besiege a city for a long term," verse 19, "making war against it in order to take it, you shall not destroy its trees by wielding an axe against them. You may eat from them, but you shall not cut them down. Are the trees in the field human that they should be besieged by you? Only the trees that you know are not trees for food you may destroy and cut down, that you may build siege works against a city that makes war with you until it falls." Those verses would have made author J.R.R. Tolkien very happy. And the hippies. Save the trees, man. Who knew that Moses was a tree hugger? I love the language that says, "Are the trees people that you should besiege them?" Tolkien was an avid nature lover, and a key theme of what Lord of the Rings was about is how war destroys nature. Tolkien was also a devout Catholic who knew his Bible. Tolkien imagines a world where the trees are like people. They've had enough and they fight back. We root for the mighty treebeard, pun intended, who fights on behalf of the woods and the forests, and he rises up and fights back in the middle of the war. Tolkien got some of this from the Bible. Not only his firsthand experience as he watched No Man's Land in World War I turn into a collective mud bath where all trees were chopped down, but he also knew that in the Bible, God said, "Care for the trees. Don't wipe them out." The next time someone tells you religion doesn't have anything to say about the environment, and only liberals and atheists care about that kind of stuff, remind them that man's first job was to care for a garden, to tend it, and to take care of nature. Then, remind them of what you read in Deuteronomy 20. It's a passage about the environment, and it's not alone. Read Deuteronomy chapter 20 today, and as you do, thank God that he teaches us to fight against our worst natures. That time, pun not intended.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.